I'm sharing on the subject of our hearts, and specifically the gardening of our hearts, gardening our hearts. In this particular session, I want to share on the issue of divine design, and how that God has created things a certain way in the kingdom of God, and He's created things a certain way in our natural lives. And if we learn to cooperate with the divine designs of God, then we can prosper. Each and every one of us can prosper, and we can experience a life of fruitfulness and joy and literally plenty if we understand divine design. You cannot look at the universe and say there is no God. When you look at the cosmos, it declares, literally screams the glory and majesty of God. And there's a divine order to the universe. There's a divine order built within creation that those who discover it and cooperate with it, they prosper. And there's just certain laws that govern this world that's a part of God's divine design. And then there's our divine design. God created you and I a certain way, and we need to understand how God created us and how to cooperate with God now in our divine design. Well, I want to look at our main text, Mark chapter 4, and some things that Jesus said about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God works. Mark chapter 4 is where we'll start, verse 26 through 28. And this is Jesus speaking, and He said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." That has to get deep within our heart. The whole kingdom of God, here's how it works, Jesus said. It's as if a man should cast seed upon the ground. If you want to understand God's kingdom, you have to understand seed. If you want to understand God's kingdom, you have to understand ground and how the ground is created to receive seed, and how that the seed, if planted, if watered, it will bring forth a harvest. So the whole kingdom of God works this way, as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. And then it says that he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. The earth yields crops by itself. This earth was created by God. The dirt, the soil, was literally created by God for seed, and it receives seed. And whatever seed you put in the ground, you're going to reap a harvest. He says, for the earth yields crops of itself, first the blade, the head, after that the full grain in the head. So he basically says that the entire kingdom of God works on seed, time, and harvest. Everything came from a seed. There is nothing in our world that didn't begin with a seed, that didn't begin with God's word and the spoken word of God, which is seed. And so you have to understand that your very existence is because of seed, time, and harvest. You wouldn't be here without a seed sown. You wouldn't be here without time, about 9 months. And you wouldn't be here without somebody laboring to bring you into this world. And many of those women have regretted that day. But the bottom line is, if you sow a seed and you give it time, you're going to get a harvest. You and I, again, exist because of seed. If you are a part of the kingdom of God, if you're born again, if you know Jesus and you've accepted Him into your heart and life, the Bible says you've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. So my existence in the kingdom of God began with a new birth. It began with seed and me being born of that seed. Everything you experience in this life came from seed. So we have to understand the power of seed. We have to understand how to plant seed, how to deal with this time issue, first the blade, then the ear, and then how to harvest the seeds that we have sown. So the kingdom works on this principle, and all of creation does as well. All right, we looked at Luke 17, verse 6, and this is where Jesus said that our faith is like a mustard seed. And I dealt with how He's not talking about the size of our faith or little faith versus great faith. He simply is saying faith is a seed. Your faith in God is a seed. What does that mean? It has to be sown. Faith has to be sown. Faith will come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if faith as a seed isn't sown, you're not going to see the benefits of faith. That's why so many people come to church. I'll share the word of God. And like a farmer, I'm just casting seed. These are seeds of faith. Every word of God, every promise of God is a seed. And on the inside of it is the life to reproduce after its own kind. All seeds have life. All seeds reproduce after their own kind. So whatever God says is like seed that has life in it to reproduce after its own kind. In other words, a promise from God has the power within the promise to fulfill itself if you plant it. But you have to learn to plant faith. You have to sow faith. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't come by whining and crying and begging and bawling. It comes by hearing. And hearing by the word, which is seed. So faith is a seed. It has to be sown in two places. It has to be sown in my heart. And if it as a seed is sown in your heart, if it takes root in time, I promise you, 100% of the time, you will bear fruit. So it's sown in my heart. How do I sow it in my heart? I sow it in my heart by meditating on it day and night. I sow it in my heart by repenting, rejecting my thoughts, accepting God's thoughts, which is His word, which are seeds that I sow in my heart. How do I sow it into my problem? Because it has to be sown now into my problem. It's sown into my heart as I receive it, as I yield, as I accept it, as I agree with it, meditate on it. Psalm says, I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth my fruit in my season. My leaves won't wither, and whatever I do will prosper. Seed, time, and harvest. How do I sow it into my problem? I speak it. I speak it. Mark 11, 23 and 24, I've got to learn to speak to my mountain, not let my mountain speak to me. Our problems tend to speak to us, and we tend to listen to our problems, and we tend to let our problems and our mountains fall on top of us in discouragement and despair instead of standing up and sowing my faith. How do I do that? I speak to my mountain, and I'm sowing my word into that problem. And in time, it will change the circumstances of my life. So it's sown in my heart. And how many of you know if you sow it in your heart, it will change your life? That's not enough of you. Praise the Lord. I promise you, even coming to church, if you will open your heart and allow me as a farmer to sow God's word into your heart, sow God's love into your heart, sow life seeds into your heart, it, the seed, will change you. You don't have to change for God. God's seed sown in your heart changes you for His glory. For His glory. So you just have to learn to yield. You have to learn to receive. You have to learn to deal with the weeds of the past. And all the weeds of the world is sown into your heart. You got to let me do some weed eating and mow down all this philosophy in your heart and vain deceit in your heart and worldliness in your heart. And then let me sow that seed, that good seed in your heart. If we can sow it and water it in time, I promise you, it supernaturally changes us. And again, if we sow it at our mountains, it changes our circumstances. Here's where I want to go. Our hearts, by divine design, our hearts are designed as ground for seed for increase. God created your heart. God designed your heart as ground that was created to receive seed. And out of that ground, that heart, and the right seed, you will see increase in your life. God has given you a seed for any need in your life. And if you can discover what seed you have, if you can get discernment from the Holy Spirit of the seed you have, and know how to sow that seed, know how to plant it, know how to water it, then you will get increase in your life. You will see change in your life. That is by divine design. Now again, let's look at our design. I've shared this before, so I'm going to hurry through this. Genesis chapter 1, God said this, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them..." See, man is them. Man is not male only. Man is male and female, and it's male and female that reflect the image of God. "Let them," man, "have dominion over fish, the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created, I'm sorry, I always default back to King James Bible in my memory. Let me slow down. Created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. I want you to be fruitful, I want you to be and multiply, and I want you to fill, I want you to replenish the earth. And he's going to teach them how to do that. He said, I want you to multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, see, now this is important. God said to Adam, if you will, look at me. I want you to see this. You've got to understand this, Adam. See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. So God says to Adam, I've given you the authority to exercise choice in whatever you want. There's a seed that reproduces after its own kind. If you just want a bunch of monkeys, there's seeds available, and I won't get into detail how that works, but if that seed is sown, you can have all the monkeys you want. If you love oranges, then there's seeds. I've given you seed. Don't whine to me about the lack of orange juice in your life. Amen. I've given you seed, and if you want orange juice, you can have all the orange juice you want, because for every seed, there's thousands of more seeds that you'll reap a harvest on, and everything is now for food for you. So now our divine design, if you break it down in simplicity, it's five things. You were created. You were designed by God. Just as sure as the cosmos, the universe, the galaxies, all the planets, all the stars, just as sure as they were designed by God and there's order to them, and just as sure as the earth has a divine design and there's order to it, and it is constant, it is consistent. I have built into the earth seasons. I have created an earth that spins on an axis that rotates around the sun, that creates a winter, and you just count on winter coming, and it's a divine design. You can count on spring coming. It's within the divine design of creation and the order of creation. You can count on summer. You can count on then fall. Then here's how you're made. Here's how you're wired. And everybody in here, while we have different personalities, different gifts and callings, listen, we're all wired the same way by divine design. What's the divine design? It's five things in simplicity. Number one, he said, you would be blessed. If you're not blessed, you're frustrated today. And many people are unhappy. They're mad. They're mean. They're angry. And they can't even figure out what's wrong with them. But I guarantee you, if you're not operating in the blessing of God, you're internally frustrated. Because you were not created for a curse. You were not created for lack. You were created to be blessed and to be a blessing. Everyone was created by God to be blessed and a blessing. We were created to be fruitful. If you're not bearing fruit, you're not happy. You were created and designed by God to be fruitful. You were created to multiply. You were created to produce. You were created to create. You were created to make a difference and multiply. You were created to subdue things. Everybody in here, and again, people get mixed up, male, female, when you talk about number five, even dominion and how guys are aggressive and guys. Let me tell you something. You want to find a woman taking dominion, just look for a mall that says sale. You'll see dominion. You'll see subdue. See, you were created to conquer. You were created to dominate. That's why without God in our lives, dear ones, without God and the purpose of God in our hearts and lives, we start subduing and taking dominion over each other. That's right. Men without God will try to subdue women and conquer women and take dominion over women. Women without God will try to subdue men and take dominion over men, the whole time both sexes being frustrated with We're taking dominion over the wrong things, but we can't help it. Our divine design is to take dominion. See, none of you were created to lose. You weren't created to lose at anything. That's why something frustrates you or you get confused or even sometimes disillusioned when you don't win. You were created to win. I don't like to lose. Now, don't misunderstand me. It takes too long, and I say things, and I realize, man, I'm creating problems for myself because I can't work it out and walk it out with people. But let me say this quickly. I'm not a sore loser, but I don't like to lose. And I don't like to lose at anything. I don't even like playing Candyland with the grandkids because there's no skill set involved, and I may lose. And I'm not saying after I lose two or three times in a row, I'm going to take them out of the wheel. I've been tempted. And I'm not saying I have a fit, but I don't want to play anymore. I want to play at something I can win. I like playing basketball with 5 and 6 year olds. Hallelujah. Why? I like to win. Now, I've thrown just a couple of games with my kids and my grandkids, but you can count on one hand how many times I've done it. I just, even when I do it out of great compassion, mercy, and love, I'm miserable. I just don't like to lose. During hunting season, I don't even call it hunting. I don't go hunting. I go killing. I don't like to be in the woods and not kill something because I am wired to win. Listen, why would I pastor a church half-hearted? Why would I pastor a church and not expect it to be one of the greatest churches on the planet? Why would I pastor a church? Why would I pastor a church and not believe that everybody that is lost, that walks through those doors, is going to make Jesus Lord of their life? And I want them more than the devil wants them. I am smarter than the devil. I'm stronger than the devil in Jesus. I'm wiser than the devil in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to get them saved. I, on my watch, do not want to even think about somebody within the sound of my voice spending eternity in a devil's hell. And just because I don't preach hell and damnation and fire every service doesn't mean hell has ceased to exist. There is a hell, saints, and there are people being drawn into and pulled into a devil's hell. And I can't stand the thought of saying anything that isn't totally confident, but that God wills to save everybody. I don't believe God wills for anybody to go to hell. I don't believe you have to go to hell. And I believe if we'll fight the good fight, if we'll sow our seed, if we'll pray for everybody that walks in here, and we'll believe to win, we'll see people get saved. I'm no different about healing. I love you, and you may even have doctrinal differences with me over healing. But you've got to know that I do not like to lose. That when you won't even pray for yourself, I'm still praying for you. When you give up, I never give up. I got so excited in our service previous to this one, and two friends of mine that I'd been praying for, one of them had a kidney with a 3-pound tumor on it and supposedly was 4-stage cancer. And when you get that far, the world says, you know, it's pretty much over. And they just took the kidney out and the tumor, and now she's cancer-free. And you wonder why I'm excited? We won. We won. A friend of mine, we're hoping we're going to get his testimony recorded because it's just tremendous. I don't want to say too much. I want him to be able to share it, but it just broke my heart when he was diagnosed with cancer. And I began to watch him decline. I mean, right in front of my eyes. But I kept sowing the seed of God's word. And I believe in the seed of by his stripes you are healed. I believe God wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. And I sowed that seed, and I'm going to teach you how to do that. And I watered that seed, and I watered that seed, and I'm going to teach you how to do that. And last night he picked me up off the ground with a big old bear hug, and he's totally cancer free. The word of God works. Yes, I've buried people I've prayed for that I didn't get my harvest. But that doesn't change God's word. It doesn't change God's will. And we just need to learn better how to sow the right seeds, how to water them better, and how to reap the increased a harvest. Most of us in this church, over 50% of us have come out of poverty. The first 10 years I pastored this church, Sue and I were at poverty or below poverty level, and our family. I know what seeds I had to plant and how to water those seeds to get out and to break the back of poverty. I was sick before 1980 every month over something. And I've walked in health for over three decades. That's not by accident. It's seed, time, and harvest. Amen or oh me. And everybody wants harvest, but they won't yield the seed, because the kingdom of God is as if a man casts seed on the ground. That's the kingdom of God. Are there times that you can sow a seed and God just floods that with water, the water of the Holy Spirit, and you reap a harvest quick? Yes. But primarily it's seed, time, and harvest, and we have to learn that. Again, don't frustrate your divine design. If you're going to come to church here, you're blessed. If you're going to come to church here, you're going to be fruitful. If you come to church here, you're going to multiply the good things in your life. If you're going to come to church here, we're going to learn how to subdue the right things, not the wrong things, and we're going to take dominion over the works of the devil and see the works of our God and Jesus glorified. Why? Why? Because I'm on some personal... It's the kingdom of God. It's our divine design. All right, Genesis chapter 2. Let's see how they're to fill the earth. Let's see how this works and begin to look at seed, time, and harvest. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. See, everything has come out of the ground. Everything's come out of the ground. That's why, look... If your kids are eating dirt, don't sweat it. I remember when my kids would eat dirt and you start to freak out and you think, they're not going to die. Now we don't serve them dirt. But we came from the ground. Everything came from the ground. Everything is a seed that returns to the ground and has seed that has to be sown. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now look at this. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. This is the only time you're going to see God planting. This was the first garden. God planted the first garden and then put a man in the garden with a garden that had seeds for the man to plant now to fulfill the call of God on his life. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow. Now, we've got to understand this. God makes everything grow. God is the one that makes everything grow. It is important that we get that part straight before we talk about planting and before we talk about watering. Because many times, we are the ones trying to make something grow. And that's when we short-circuit divine design. God is the one that makes things grow. And so, we need to let the Holy Spirit seal that in our heart. The Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So every tree had seed. The tree of life had seed. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was seed. And we get to choose which seed we sow in natural ground to get the harvest we desire. And we get to choose what seed we sow in our heart, which is ground, to see what harvest that we desire. Adam was the gardener of the first creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God put him in the garden, said to dress it, keep it. How was Adam going to take the order of the garden into the world? Through seed, time, and harvest. How was Adam going to replenish the earth? How was Adam going to fill the earth? How was he going to eat? Through seed, time, and harvest. How was he going to take the order of the garden? Because remember, he's got to replenish the earth. He's got to fill the earth now with what's in the garden. How's he going to do that? He's going to do it through seed, time, and harvest. How are we going to get oranges out of the garden into the world? We're going to have to sow seeds. How are we going to get pears into the world that's in the garden? We're going to have to sow seeds, etc., etc. So he was the gardener of first creation. And we all know the fall. We all know how he failed. But it was Adam that had seed, that he was going to fill the earth with his seed, and he was going to fill the earth with all the other seed. And through seed, time, and harvest, the earth would be filled with the goodness of God. The earth would be filled with the things of God. Now, this right here, I get so excited about. I have to consciously calm myself down. So I'm going to try to stay cool on this. So please pay attention. But Adam, the first man, was the gardener of God's creation, first creation. And remember, there's order to everything, and Adam was to cooperate with the divine design, his own, the divine design of the earth, that you put seed in it, it'll grow, the divine design of the, again, the cosmos, the universe, everything was by divine design, and you have to learn it and then cooperate with it. How many of you know that the earth and much of the divine design with the earth, there are pure science to creation. There's pure science to creation. Now, young people, got to pay attention here real quick. I'm on a sidetrack. But what you hear is science today is not pure science. Politics has hijacked science for a man agenda. And it's hard to find pure science. Pure science is consistent. Pure science is non-biased. There is no politics in pure science. A pure science, for instance, and the order of divine design is the law of gravity. How many of you know the law of gravity just is? And it's constant, it's consistent, it's non-biased, it doesn't, has no prejudice, has no agenda. But you better learn the law of gravity or you're not going to be blessed. And how many of you know that the law of aerodynamics, that's a law, it's a science. And it works every time, all the time for everybody. The law of aerodynamics of lift and thrust supersede the law of gravity. But how many of you know that when you're 30,000 feet in the air, if you turn off the laws of thrust and lift, the law of gravity is right there to take you back. Amen. And you better cooperate with it. And, you know, I fly a lot now, and it just, I'm telling you, it still amazes me. Every time I see a plane, I have to release my faith. Because my brain tells me that thing will not get off the ground. It will not stay in the air. But how many of you know laws work even when your brain can't figure it all out? And you can enjoy that law and the fruit of that law even when you don't understand all of it. Man, I'm saying a lot fast. You know, one of the reasons Sue and I don't have any problem if we have to sit at the back of a plane, how many of you have ever seen a plane back into a mountain? Sorry. But I mean, all these pictures I see of crashes, there's the tail that's kind of sticking out, and I'm thinking, that's where I want to be. Bottom line, divine design works in the natural. And divine design works in the kingdom of God. There are principles. I'm sorry, get excited. There are principles that work. And it doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what family background you have. It doesn't matter how broke you are. It doesn't matter how messed up you are. None of it matters. Just seed time and harvest. You can change your destiny if you understand these laws. And so Adam is the gardener of creation. Now watch this. This is huge. In John chapter 20, verse 15, Jesus has died. He's been buried. And now he's been raised on the first day of the week. Early Sunday morning, he has risen. And the disciples go. And a few of them go. And they can't find him. And so they just panic. Well, listen. Mary Magdalene goes into the tomb. And I love this. She sees two angels. She sees an angel at the head of where Jesus laid and at the feet of where Jesus laid. You know what that is? That's the cherubim angels in reality that the Old Testament spoke of the covenant and the Ark of the Covenant. And how many of you know all of Israel met at the Ark of the Covenant with God at the mercy seat between the two cherubim angels? And how many of you know the reality has come now, and it's not the blood of a goat that is on that mercy seat in heaven. It's the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away all the sins of the world. And we meet with Father God at the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, Jesus Christ. And now we have fellowship with God through simple faith in him. So right there's the picture of the fulfillment of what was in types and shadows all those many years. And then Mary then turns and she sees, now watch this, she sees somebody and she's crying and the first time Jesus addresses her, he says, "Woman, why are you crying? Why are you weeping?" And it says in verse 15, she supposed that he was a gardener. Stay calm, stay calm. No, stay calm, stay calm. She supposed he was a gardener and says, hey, if you've taken the Lord, maybe you moved him to do some weed eating. I don't know. Maybe you moved him because you're the gardener. You know, where's he at? And can you bring him back? And watch this. And then he says, Mary. And she knew it was the Lord. How many of you know the sheep know his voice? And the voice of a stranger, they won't follow. When he called her woman, she didn't recognize him. But when he called her by name, Mary, she knew it was the Lord. Now watch this. She supposed he was a gardener. I don't think we understand the power of that within the church at large today, because I want to drop a revelation nuke on you here, because I'm telling you, this is the first revelation of Jesus after his resurrection. He had not yet ascended unto his Father to cleanse the heavenly utensils that all that Moses painted a picture of was in the heavenlies. He said, don't touch me. I've not ascended unto my Father yet. She got the first resurrection of the revelation of the resurrected king, but he wasn't dressed as a king. He didn't have a purple royal robe on and a crown on his head. When she said, or the scriptures say, she supposed he was a gardener, he looked like a gardener. Think of it in terms of if it would have said, and she supposed he was a policeman. There are policemen here now, but we wouldn't suppose they were policemen because they're dressed in just regular clothes. They're not in their uniform. But if we supposed one of you was a policeman, why would we suppose that? We would see your uniform. We would see your gun. We would see your badge. If we was to see someone and suppose they're a doctor, they would have probably a white coat on and that's what I said. I don't know what you heard. What am I trying to say? He looked like a gardener. Why? Why did he look like a gardener? First revelation of Jesus after the resurrection wasn't a lamb, wasn't a lion, wasn't a king, wasn't Lord. The first revelation of Jesus after the resurrection was he's a gardener now of the new creation. Hallelujah. He's the second man, the last Adam. And let me tell you something. He's the gardener over God's new creation. And we are God's field. We are God's garden. And I'm telling you, Jesus is a faithful gardener to sow nothing but good seed into his garden, into your heart. Hallelujah. And if you will yield to the gardener of the new creation, he will sow nothing but love on the inside of you. He'll sow nothing but good seeds. And listen, he wants to send you out into that world now as the seed of Abraham to bring a blessing to the whole world. Hallelujah. Everything is a seed. You're a seed in God's garden, and he wants to sow you into a world that desperately needs to know God. We are gardeners. We are co-laborers with Jesus of our hearts and the new creation. I think we miss this in our preaching many times and teaching, but in first creation, God created the world and it was perfect. He put a perfect garden, perfect man, perfect woman in it, and said, now fill it, replenish the earth. Many times we missed Jesus walking in the cool of the day. Remember, he came down to meet Adam after he had sinned, to walk with him in the cool of the day. They weren't just taking a stroll and walking. They were co-laborers together to take the divine order of the garden to the world. In the new covenant, Jesus is still now walking in the cool of the day with us and co-laborers together with us in taking the order of the kingdom of God into the earth like a seed. Because the kingdom of God is like leaven. Has to be sown, and then it leavens the whole lump. So we're gardeners and co-laborers together with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, I need to hurry here, but the church at Corinth was filled with strife, envy, jealousy, divisions, and it was because they didn't have a revelation of the things that I'm sharing with you right now. If we understood that there's a place for each and every one of us in God's garden, and there's a role that we all have in God's garden, and that we all need each other, we wouldn't be jealous of each other. we wouldn't be envious. We wouldn't have all the strife and division. And so he's dealing with them over this strife. And some are saying, I'm of Paul, others of Apollos. He says, who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers or servants through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Seed, time, water, harvest. The whole kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed onto the ground. So that neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now that can sound like he's putting himself down, he's putting Apollos down, and it's just God. But watch this as it unravels. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive a what? His own reward according to his own labor. So planting is important, watering's important, and God giving the increase is important. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So you got Paul, all right? What did he say he did? Paul planted. What did he plant? He planted seeds. How did he plant seeds? With his spoken word. He kept throughout his writing saying, I've taught you this, I taught you that, I taught you this. I didn't come with fancy words of men's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. What was that power and demonstration of the Spirit? It wasn't just signs and wonders, that was part of it. It was the Word of God that has the power to change men's hearts and men's lives if it gets sown into their hearts. So Paul had a role he had to plant. How did he do that? Speaking God's Word, because God's Word is seed. Is seed. Well, Apollos, he had a role. What was his role? His role was to water it. Now watch, how did he water it? How did he water it? Affirming the word Paul preached. He was a better speaker, history tells us, than Paul. And that's why some people gravitated to him, was his ability to communicate. Whereas Paul wasn't a great public speaker. He had the meat of things. He had the word of things. And he kept planting the seed. But Apollos wasn't planting a different seed. He was watering the seed Paul planted. How did he do that? By affirming the word of God. By undergirding the teaching. Not undermining the teaching. And then God's role. See, we like this. God does have a role. What does he do? He's responsible for the fruit, and he gives the increase. God makes things grow. But see, God can't grow anything if nothing's planted. How many of you know 10 times of nothing? Some young people, pay attention. 10 times zero equals what? Somebody has to plant. And see, everybody wants this, and they get mad at God here, and they don't understand why their life is a mess and why they've got all these bad fruit in their life. And they want God just to change things overnight. And I'm not saying he doesn't supernaturally intervene and do supernatural things for us and interventions in our lives, but I'm saying God's kingdom operates on seed, time, and what happens during the time. Watering the seed. Words are seeds. Words are seeds. Now let me go through this quickly. Man, where does the time go? Words are seeds. How do I plant the seed? I got to hear the word of God. And I need to hear. Praise the Lord. Many people do not understand the power of the heart of a speaker and the seeds the speaker's sowing. If the speaker's heart is not pure, the seed gets tainted. If the speaker has impure motives, if the speaker has an agenda, a hidden agenda, a selfish agenda, it hinders the quality of the seed even being sown. So it's so important that you listen to people that have a heart for God, that you listen to people that love the Word of God and that share the unadulterated Word of God. Pure seed. So it comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how it gets planted, is me meditating now on it day and night, by me guarding it, by me keeping it. How do you get it watered? You get it watered in many different ways. Praise and worship is a time of watering. Listen to me, dear ones. The Holy Spirit is the water of God in the field of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, out of your belly are going to flow rivers of living water. Jesus said, hey, you come to me, you'll never thirst again. I put a well in you springing up. Do you know how the seed was watered before the flood? From the ground up. The seed that's changing my life is being sown into the part of my heart that is my soul, and it's taken root. But it is the Holy Spirit. When I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I taught you just a few weeks ago how that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, your mind is unfruitful. See, what is it that brings fruit to my mind? It's the Word of God being sown there. But when I pray in the Holy Spirit, I'm watering the seed. When I'm in worship and praise and worship and corporate worship where we come into unity, the water increases and I'm watering my seed. When I get around somebody that speaks the Word of God and affirms the Word of God and confirms the Word of God, not contradicting it, I'm getting my seed watered. I don't hang out with and spend a lot of time with people saying things like, you never know what God's going to do and God doesn't heal everybody. No, I need to get around somebody that believes the Word of God and will affirm my healing. Would you water my seed, not pour Roundup all over my heart? I could go on and go on with, you got to plant the right seed, that's hearing, and hearing the Word of God, that's seed. You guard the seed by meditating on it day and night, and you water it through life groups. Life groups is to water the seeds I'm sowing. We don't need in our life groups a foreign seed sown. We need to water all the seeds that I'm sowing. How about eight of you? Praise the Lord. So see, words are seeds, and words are seeds that I'm hearing being sown. And when I'm speaking over someone, I'm either sowing a seed that they didn't know, or I'm watering a seed that they already know. And it'll cause it to grow and come forth and bring forth fruit. See, faith seeds bring life. I want life. So I need some faith seeds sown in my heart and sown into my problem. Doubt seeds bring death. Now, how anybody can miss this, I'll never get it. This is so simple, and we'll close with this. Proverbs 18, 20, and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. That's not talking about pigging out. And the context tells you that it's not talking about eating. A man's belly, he's not talking about your belly here. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Jesus said in John chapter 7, out of your belly, your spirit, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Holy Spirit that was still yet to come. So a man's belly, a man's spirit shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Gotta hurry. The reason some of you are so frustrated is your spirit has all this life inside of it, but all you're talking is death. All you're speaking is weeds. And so he says, your spirit will be satisfied, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. If you start saying the right things, you will see increase in your life, because words are seeds and words are watering seeds. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How hard is that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you realize when you're raising your kids, you're sowing seeds into their heart? You don't need to be saying, you're sorry, you're no good, you'll never amount to a hill of beans. You're the black sheep of the family. You always get it wrong. You're sowing seeds. And then you're shocked when you get a jerk for a son. Amen or oh me. That's like me watching you sow corn upon corn upon corn, corn. And then now there's this field full of corn and you're whining about the corn in your field. And then you get mad at me when I go, well, you sow, do it. Amen. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm trying to teach us how to live life and live it in abundance. I'm praying for all of you all the time for crop failure. Amen. And I'm telling you, as a church, we can get better at this, and we can learn how to pray for crop failure of seeds that people have sown for 20 years and believe God for crop failure and now quickly sow the right seeds and pray to God for increase. Water that seed, nurture that seed, keep the bugs off that seed. Amen. Man, I tell you, I'm preaching better than you're responding, but that's okay. This is so good. This is so encouraging that I can sow to the kind of life I want to have. I don't have a happy marriage by accident. I don't have functional children by accident. I didn't come out of poverty by accident. I'm not healthy by accident. And I'm not I am special. But I'm not better than anybody else, and I'm no different than anybody else. And my ground is the same ground your ground is. And God's seed is the same seed. We just have to sow the right seed, learn how to water it, and learn how to reap the harvest. Can we just go to the takeaway, guys? Just take me to the takeaway. As a pastor, I plant God's promises, and they're good seeds. If you want to come to a church where you're going to hear nothing but God loves you, and even in chastening you, it's out of love. If you want to hear all the good things of God, you're in the right place, because, man, my heart is filled with nothing but good seeds. And I'm going to plant those seeds and plant those seeds. Campus pastors, all of our different locations, they're watering the seed. The midweek services are watering seeds. Life groups are watering seeds. Prayer is how you water seed. Can you imagine if we could just get in small groups and really, really sell out to one another and go, okay, what are you believing for? What's your seed? All right, have we planted it? Do you believe it with all your heart? Yes, okay. We're going to say the same thing now. And every time I pray for you, I'm going to water that seed. I'm going to say, do you realize in Thanksgiving you're watering seed? Every time I say, thank you, God, for our church, I'm watering all the good seed instead of whining and murmuring about our church. I don't sow anything but good seed in regards to our church, and I'm going to pour nothing but water, living water, on the seed that's been sown. How many of you know God gives the increase? You grow and our church grow when we sow the right seed, when we pour water all over the seed, and then we trust God for the increase. Amen. Amen. Anybody get anything today? Jesus, I love you so much, and I thank you that you are the living seed that's been sown in my heart, the part of my heart that's born again. And now your word are seeds that I can sow into the other part of my heart. And as I think on things that are lovely and pure and honest and good, and I thank you that seed's taken root. And I thank you for all the friends in my life. I thank you for our church. I thank you that I get to come to a good church where people water the seed in my heart. They encourage me. They speak positive things over me. Thank you for watering the seed. But God, we trust you for the increase. And I see great harvest on the horizon. And I am truly excited about it personally. And as a pastor, I'm excited that I know you showed me the harvest, even of this series, that by the end of this series, lives are going to be changed that have been struggling. And I speak that. I water every seed I sowed today. Now I'm watering it. And I'll water it this week in prayer. And I thank you for the increase. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God.
All right, somebody give Jesus some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Let's water that seed. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for washing over us with that living water, the water of your word. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're just going to be attentive to the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst today. If you're here today and you've never made a decision to receive that life-giving seed whose name is Jesus Christ, you've never made that decision to allow heaven now to come and pollinate your life and to begin to grow and mature and produce the things of the kingdom, you've never said yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, then I have good news for you today, friend. Today is your day. You have the opportunity to receive the free gift of God in Jesus. We don't want a service to go by without an opportunity for those that do not know the Lord, have never made that decision to follow Him, to have an opportunity to do that. If you're here in the house today, if you would, just lift a hand right where you sit. If that's you and you're ready to receive the gift of Jesus into your life, I just want to pray with you this morning. We're not going to single you out or do anything that's going to draw attention to you. I'm just looking around to see who I get to pray for today. If you're joining us online this morning, there's a place that you can click to raise your hand and respond and give your life to the Lord as well. So we're just going to wait a few moments. Anybody here this morning that would like to do that, we'd love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. We love you. Did we have a hand over here, guys? Thank you, Lord. Don't want to miss anybody. If you did raise your hand, if you could just lift it up so I can see it. Thank you, Lord. Well, church family, let's go ahead and do this. If you would, just everybody put your hand on your heart. I just want to pray this over you this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you are the gardener of our souls. Father, we believe that we received this morning the seeds that you have been sowing through the words of our pastor, God. And we believe that this week, Father, the watering is happening. Help us to be faithful people that would stand guard over that seed. Father, we take authority over the enemy because we know he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he will not get this seed that's been deposited in our hearts today. We thank you, Father, for growing us in great grace, for your grace being upon us. Thank you, Father, for those of us that have been hanging on to seeds of faith in regards to healing. Father, I call this house healed and whole today in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we see roots coming up out of what we might think is dry ground, Father, but you're at work. You're at work in our midst, Father. We see roots taking hold, Father. We see shoots coming up, Father, and people's bodies being healed, Father. People's marriages being restored, Father. Wayward children coming back to you. And we believe, Father, that with our eyes we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And we give you praise and glory this morning. Thank you for leading us and guiding us into all truth by your Holy Spirit. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and we receive this blessing from you today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, you're officially dismissed. I hope you have a great rest of your afternoon. The altars are open for prayer. If you'd like to come and receive from the ministry team, feel free to do that. We hope to see you soon. You're blessed. Go with grace. Amen.